Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIV Hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening.
Hi there.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
How are you both?
Yes. Haven't got any words at the moment because
shocking.
I know. The listeners are thinking that's not usual for Sue.
Oh,
but no, yeah. I'm just pacing myself for the onslaught of all the stuff that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks for World
Yes.
AIDS Day and everything. So what about your good self, Stephen?
Well, I'm trying to pace myself,
Sue,
but I don't know how well I'm doing it yet. So, but things are good. Things are good. It's just, just trying to keep warm. I know I said this last week, but the weather has changed here in the UK anyway.
Yes. Come along, John's out.
Oh yeah, you got a lovely hat on there. You got a lovely hat on. Yeah, hat on.
I look like my grandma.
Oh,
how are you, Josh?
I'm not too bad. Yeah, this is our World AIDS Day special edition, isn't it? So
mm-hmm,
we're leaving
it
to the 1st of December.
Yes,
Wednesday the 1st. So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. I wasn't here last week, but I was behind the scenes, obviously. But
of course,
it's good to be back. And see you and to talk to our listeners, and
yeah.
So we've got a good show on, haven't we? We've got a busy show.
We have. Yes. It's just amazing. We've got, we're able. I don't know whether it's feeling easier, but I shouldn't say that because it's not easy to try and approach people to do interviews. But I don't know whether it's because the HIV Hour is getting more out there and sort of more widespread. I don't know, but you know. As my mother used to say, the proof is in the pudding. You know that we've got so much. Well, we seem to get so much fantastic content, don't we, from our amazing interviewees? So
So
who've we got on the show this week, Stephen? Who are you interviewing?
So this week I am interviewing Jason Reed, and Jason is part of the board for the AIDS Memorial, which we've been waiting for in London for a long, long time. So he and I did an interview. I have to apologise. There's a bit of background noise, but it's unfortunately the way things are at the moment with how we have to record. But it was great to speak to Jason and hear what the plans for the memorial, the AIDS memorial here in the UK is going to be.
Brilliant.
Great stuff.
Can't wait to hear that.
Mm. Yeah, and Sue.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sue.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've been leading up to this one. We've got the absolute privilege that we all are with all our interviews on the HIV. I've managed to do an amazing interview with Jill Alden. Let me just tell you who she is. Let's go back to February when It's a Sin was on the telly. And we're all still talking about it, aren't we? And she actually played a part. I don't know whether you realise, guys, she actually played a part, a very small part in It's a Sin. She's called the original Jill, isn't she? And she played the Jill that was portraying her as mother. And I've had a really interesting interview. I learned so much from her. And, you know, what she has done with so many other people throughout the, you know, the decades. I mean, she's a massive advocate for the LGBTQ community, and she's still, you know, putting her time into, and it's just amazing. And one little snippet, I will give it away. I didn't realise that how long she's known Russell T Davis, and went to college together. So that You know, so amazing interview, such an inspiring lady. But she doesn't take all of the credit, which is quite inspiring. She you know, she talks about others that were doing what she was doing, you know. So, yeah. So,
great. Look forward to that.
Yeah.
And we also got at the end of the show just what's coming up in the next week. There's quite a few events in Brighton, and so we'll get that out at the end of the show. So
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. You can also get us on podcast. Now, as we look up to what's happening in the next few weeks, we've got World AIDS Day. We've got some really great guests coming on the show to share their stories, their experiences, their thoughts and their feelings, what World AIDS Day is, why we should still commemorate it, and how the younger generation perhaps needs to know the history. I have the immense pleasure in introducing Jill Naldo. Now, if anyone hasn't seen It's a Sin, I'm sure Jill will remind you that it's a great programme to watch. Now, Jill, can I bring you in at this point? And thank you so much for coming on the HIV Hour.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Regarding It's a Sin, it was an amazing reaction. It's a five-part drama TV series written by Russell T. Davies, who is probably very famous for Doctor Who, but has written an awful lot of things. And he is also known for his activism, LGBTQ activism, and in this case, he was looking at AIDS in the 80s, and he chose stories from his friends, really. And I'm very proud to say I've been a friend of Russell's. I mean, I love him dearly, so I'm more than proud.
You've known him for quite some years, haven't you, Jill?
Since we were, well, I hate to say he's 2 years younger than me. So since he was 14 and I was 16, but
wow, I've said
that very often. But we've known each other for a long time from our local youth theatre drama. You know, our experiences there, we've remained friends all these years. So he obviously lived through the 80s. He was in a different part of the country. He was living up in Manchester, and I think myself living in London, we got the full blast of AIDS, HIV and AIDS as it happened. I think probably London had a higher percentage of people with HIV and AIDS, but of course it was all over the country. And it was very difficult for people. So Russell chose In It's a Sin, which is an absolutely brilliant title, I think. He chose.
So what I'm dying to know myself, Jill, what brought about this? It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, it's going around the world. What started it? What sort of ignited such an amazing series?
Well, I think it was just Russell's desire to pay tribute to the boys that we lost. You know, and I think he's had it on the back burner for a long time. He had his own personal tragedy with his partner, lost his partner. So I think it went on the back burner while he was caring for Andrew. But it's been a germ, you know, growing, a seed growing in his mind for many years. And so he suddenly decided now was the right time. And he was absolutely right. It was the right time because I think COVID made people perhaps a bit more sympathetic to the stress of living with a pandemic or an epidemic.
Yes.
At the time, people didn't realise what was going on. So it opened a door to people's realisation of what went on in the 80s. And that's I think, is, you know, it was the coming together of the right time. Brilliant writing from Russell. Mm-hmm. Fantastic acting from, you know, the big five, I call them.
But Jill, you actually had a small part in there, didn't you?
I did. That was part. I played my own mother. And my mother, I think, was nicer probably than me. But I did play I was very honoured, actually. I did not expect to have a part in it.
Nice.
I've been talking to Russell about various experiences, and he talked to other people as well. It wasn't just only me. Primarily, we spent a couple of weekends together, going back over memories, really.
Yeah.
And it transpired to be an amazing success. I mean, we've had so much love, so much interest, so much feedback, so much goodwill and interest in the era. And I think it is history. You forget it's history because you lived it. Think your history because you don't feel that old, but
I know. But I mean, 1980s. I mean, I well and truly, I was out and about in the 1980s, and you know, was part of my era as well. And it doesn't really seem that far away. It's only when I talk to my daughter about it, and you know, she wasn't even born in the 80s, and she thinks I'm ancient when I go on. No, but I've got to ask you a question, and everybody is probably wanting to know. Tell us what the Pink Palace was, and was it like what it was in the TV series?
In the vibe of it, it was like the TV series because we loved being there and we had parties and we had a lot of fun there and people, it was a big hub. Visually, the real Pink Palace was more pink.
Woo!
It was totally pink, and that's why we called it, and it had chandeliers, it had
wow.
this very, very beautiful home that somebody had chosen. I think it was the gentleman who rented it out to us. It was his mother's place, and his mother was very elderly, and she'd had to go into a sort of a care situation. And so he was renting her property out, and we walked in to find the property. And truly, it was dusky pink, dark pink carpets, pale pink sofas, pink curtain, pinkish purpley walls, and chandeliers. And we were laughing and loving it because we had, as everybody does when they're in college and they're sharing digs with friends, and you can live in some rough old places. And so we suddenly walked into a palace and we loved it.
Gosh.
And it was a very reasonable rent. So we stayed there for the best part of 4 years. And then sadly, when the time came, you know, we had to find somewhere else. But obviously...
You lost some special people, didn't you, Jill? Throughout that time?
Oh, during that time, it was very difficult. And afterwards, it didn't stop. When we left the Pink Palace, that was kind of the beginning of the whole AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
But as you know yourself, you know, there was no treatment, really. There was talk of the protease inhibitors and the triple combination, 95 into 96, but it still wasn't out there all the time. Mm-hmm. Everyone wasn't taking it. And, you know, so I think 97, 98, you started really noticing the difference. People surviving very well, but right from the middle of the 80s to the middle of the 90s, that was the worst time in London, I think, and the worst time for me. Obviously everyone's diagnosis is the worst time for them, but that we went through that decade, really, losing people and hearing, you know, so many people were diagnosed HIV, and some people, marvelously, that were diagnosed at that time or towards the end of the 80s into the early 90s did survive long enough to get triple combination therapy.
Wow.
Which is amazing because I had friends who were kind of at the same level of where they'd had opportunistic infections. That's the sort of illnesses that gets that strike you when you're HIV positive. Some as bad as the other, but sometimes you could recover. Sometimes you just got very unlucky. Cancer or something that you couldn't recover from, and so people, you know, it was possible to survive, and a few friends have survived to this day, which is quite fantastic.
You've been such a, because I've read lots of other stuff about you've been such an, and still are, an amazing gay rights campaigner, and you know, and I'm sure many people around the UK are wishing there was more Jills around.
Oh, it's so lovely what people say, and you know, all I ever thought was, you know, let's be equal. Let's not victimize. Let's not make people's lives harder. Life on this planet is hard for every single person. And many, many people have such difficult lives. You know, why make it harder with prejudices? I have never understood that. I came from a pretty open-minded family. And so, you know, I think even because everybody, you have to check yourself and think, why would I want to make a person's life more difficult just because they are, you know, they're going to fall in love with a man or fall in love with a woman? It's just basically, it's human rights, isn't it? It's human rights.
Absolutely.
And the right to live and love.
Absolutely. Do you have empathy? Because obviously back in the 1980s, you know, you're talking about the gay rights movement and campaign, and you were a massive advocate. Do you have, now we have the trans community. We have trans people trying to break through the barriers. I mean, do you have empathy for what's happening now?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Mm. And why wouldn't I? Because if they say, that's what I think, if they say, then they're right. That's what I think. I think, I don't know. I'm not a trans woman, so I don't know. I do have in my circle of people have known and have the privilege and you know, interest and diversity to know some trans people, but I don't know the depth of their struggle. Mm-hmm. And so if they tell me, then I think, okay, well, I'll listen to that. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I try to.
Yes, of course.
People can make mistakes. Of course they can, and people should be allowed to make mistakes as well, because everyone's learning. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're learning with a good heart and looking forward to equality, why wouldn't we do that? Why make life for somebody who's, it must be a difficult decision. It must be a life-changing decision, a life-affirming decision to, you know, become a woman or become a man.
Yeah.
It's a journey. And so let's help them by listening to what they tell us.
Exactly, Jo. And like you said, you know, life is difficult enough. You know, let us be, you know, life is difficult. Without anything else, it is difficult.
The most privileged people are going to have their problems. You know, even the most privileged, even the most healthy, even the most beautiful, you know, all the things that you think life is good, even the most wealthy, they're going to have problems. So, you know, when people are struggling with something, what do we get? If we're very lucky, we get 80 to 90 years, if we are lucky.
Yeah.
That is a blip in the universe. Exactly. And that's why don't we try to just make it lovely as much as we can? You know, I'm not preaching. I don't want to preach, but that's just my philosophy.
Sure.
Time is so short. You know, time is so, so short.
Jill, you must have met some wonderful people throughout the decades.
Oh, I have met some wonderful people. Really amazing people in the LGBTQ+ community. Mm-hmm. Right back to people who were so bold and brave and colourful and entertaining, and I loved that. I mean, I absolutely loved it. It's given me my life, that's for sure.
Mm.
You know, it's given me my circle of friends, my, you know the just the way that we live. I've just met some fantastic people. You're absolutely right. I'm sure you have as well.
Absolutely. And you're still in musical theatre, aren't you, Jill? You're still travelling around doing it all.
And that's another bunch of fabulous people I've met as well, because I love the theatre. I love it. I think that, you know, generally I'm very at home in the theatre. I think theatre people are a unique world. And and back, we're talking about HIV, and back in the 80s and the 90s, the theatre community stepped up big time and did their best to be fundraising. You know, we between us in the theatre, we raised millions. We have raised millions. And it's gone for research and for care and all that kind of thing. So I'm proud of that. And I know all the others that were involved are very proud of that. And so there's another fantastic group of people that I've been privileged to be part of.
Gosh. And if we think about next year, in fact, it's around about July next year, we're going to be commemorating 40 years since the AIDS epidemic, you know, it first started with first seen. 40 years. Does it feel like 40 years?
No, it doesn't feel like 40 years. It'll never feel like 40 years, because I think the thing is, when something has, and I'm sure there's all kinds of circumstances in the world where people think it doesn't seem like, it seems like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because you don't give it real distance. You're always thinking about it in some shape or form. You know, I lost my mum, I lost my dad. It seems like only yesterday.
Yeah.
I think about them a lot, so I don't give it distance. And yet you can come on, you can see something on the television that you haven't thought about, and you think, oh my God, that was, you know, really, you've given it the distance, and it feels like a really long time ago. But when it's close to you,
yeah,
it's always in your thoughts, isn't it? So
yeah. What would you say World AIDS Day means to you, Jill? Because you've seen so much back then, and you still see things of the people, you know, that went and lost and went too soon. What does World AIDS Day mean to you?
Well, I think it's very good to have it. I think it's a lovely remembrance. It means remembrance. Obviously, you take time out to think of those that are no longer with us and who can't, you know, be enjoying the life that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so that's always going to be a loss. But there's awareness. Mm-hmm. There is, you know, again, it's a chance to perhaps fundraise for various causes, to create awareness and to put that awareness into the LGBTQ, even though anyone, and I'm stressing that, anybody can get HIV, it still carries that stigma of the LGBTQ, especially gay men. Yeah. You know? So while it's carrying that, then it's another way to raise awareness. But then also need to raise awareness that, you know, when we did with the Terence Higgins Trust, a few things that I've done with the Terence Higgins Trust, them saying that women are, you know, the least likely to be diagnosed. So young women who don't think, oh, I'll get an HIV test or that. So there's all that kind of awareness that came out of World AIDS Day. Before we start on sub-Saharan Africa and countries where there's victimization and then there's HIV on top of that, secrecy. Mm-hmm. So it's far from, I think, until it's, either it's cured completely and no one's on the planet has it, or there is complete freedom to be open about it, then World AIDS Day is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, did you see, just there's a last thing, did you see that you may not, because I think you may have been still trapped, and there was a programme on ITV last week, it was, about Patient Zero.
I have in the past seen about Patient Zero. Right. I know the story of Patient Zero. I think he was such a, it's a really cruel story.
Yes.
It's a really unkind circumstance. It's about Gaten Dugas.
I believe so, yes.
His name. But he is, for your listeners who don't know, he was defined as the first person who brought to the Western world, I guess.
Yes.
And he was an air steward and he was known to be promiscuous. But in fact, he only tried to help. He did not bring AIDS into the wider world. He gave a blood sample and it was labelled zero because he was a person who was outside of the area he was donating from. So he got labelled patient zero and was victimised.
Yeah.
And that's been taken back now. You know, I believe he's had, posthumously, had his reputation restored because he was trying to do his best, you know, and the press got hold of him in the wrong way then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
He has half a second. He has half a second on the screen or 2 seconds and he appears on an airline pilot and as a steward, cabin crew, and he, because you can't say steward now, you've got to say cabin crew, haven't you? It's this cabin crew, and he is sort of being very loud and camp, and he is patient zero. But out of the story of him, you know, the actor that played him, patient zero, has been invited to talk on many things because the story is so interesting.
Sure. Jill, if you just think back, obviously back into the 1990s and all the people that you knew that went before us and all the other wonderful people that went before us, and if we think now, the advances in treatment, the advancement in healthcare, you know, we got tablets now that if you're diagnosed with HIV in the UK, you go onto tablets straight away and you get an undetectable viral load and you can't pass the virus on. If you think that, does that give you a tingle to think what you've seen, what you witness, and now what we have? How do you feel?
They would be on their knees for that. Absolutely be, you know, because it is amazing. And I think, you know, it means you can live a completely full life. It means you can live a normal lifespan. It means everything. But I do stress it is better not to catch it if you can avoid it.
Exactly.
Because you do, in spite of it all, brilliant treatments and everything, you do have to be very disciplined to take a regime of medication. So if you can avoid it, which you can, then that is, again, the better option, you know, prevention. As my mum would always say, prevention is better than cure. But it is an amazing medical advance. And there's now one coming out, isn't there?
Injectables, yes.
Amazing.
I'm thinking whether I would take that. I don't know. I don't think it'll be for everybody, but it's another option.
It's for everyone. I think it's for certain people with certain resistances and certain things. Again, you know, again, it's another option. If you're maybe, for instance, than somebody who's traveling the world a lot, it's very difficult timing your medication with the time changes, because that's a tricky thing sometimes. That friend who's travels with the airlines, and of course you always have to be aware that you've taken it, and you've got to have the food and the amount of calories you need to take, certain drugs, and so it can be. So for somebody once every 2 months, that could be a lifeline, really.
I'm sure a lot of people would benefit, you know, like people in the forces, you know, so they don't have to take, would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. People who can't get access so easily as well, you know.
Yeah. Do you know what, Jill? We could carry on talking, because I know you've got so much more to talk about, and perhaps in the new year you would like to come on again. It's just been absolutely amazing. I think it's so poignant with what's happened with Itacin this year, with all the stuff. You know, we've just been talking about the new, you know, HIV injectables.
And the incredible, you know, of Itacin from a lot of the nation, resulting in it getting the NTA award, of course. So it got
I know! I've seen you on there, it was amazing.
And that's voted for by the public, so that thrilled Russell.
Gosh.
Of course, he never expected that. He kept saying before it was not, before they announced it, we're not going to win it. We're all going, shut up.
And, wow.
And then it went. So, you know, there's something is changing out there.
Yes. And you know, what a wonderful year it's been with, you know, for Russell and you and everyone involved with Itacin. And it's going to be a legacy, because obviously the work that I do, a lot of the work is now coming in.
An amazing work.
Is coming in because of Itacin. We've seen Itacin. We've seen what happened in the 80s. We want to know what's happening now. Great. That's we're here to tell you.
Really good. Brilliant. You do an amazing job.
But thank you so much, Jill. Are you off you on your travels soon again? I know you've just come back.
Well, there is talk that we might be doing a concert for New Year's Eve, which I'm really hoping that might happen. We've got some concerts around the country. We're going up to Dumfries, actually, to do an evening based on, musical theatre evening, but with somewhat linked to Itacin and to the cause LGBTQ, because it's a festival, so there's an LGBTQ element. And that's in the new year, January the 15th. We're up there, so we've got some lovely things happening.
Brilliant. Well, you know, everyone on the HIV wants to say that. I know you were just part of a massive cohort of people that were doing such amazing things and still are doing amazing things. And you know, from the HIV community, we really want to thank you because of that.
Gosh, that's the least I can do. Good grief.
Yeah.
Been an honour.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Jill, for coming on the HIV Hour. Take care. We'll get you on again soon.
Lovely. I'll look forward to it. Lovely chatting to you.
Radio Reverb. 97.2.
Hey everybody, welcome to the HIV Hour. I am joined today by Jason Reed, who is the AIDS Memory UK Events Manager. That's right, isn't it, Jason?
You got it.
So, Jason, thank you for joining us on the HIV Hour this week. Jason, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions just about the AIDS Memorial, and just because I know there's a lot of people have got questions about it, so I thought I'd just fire a few at you, if that's okay.
Absolutely, let's go.
Okay, so first of all, why don't we have an AIDS memorial yet? I've been to the one in San Francisco, to the one in New York, to the one in Brighton. Why in such a multicultural city like London don't we have one yet?
Well, I think that's $1 million question, isn't it? And it goes back to why we're doing what we're doing. I think there came to a point where there was almost a frustration amongst some people that we didn't have an AIDS memorial. London is a worldwide city. It's a beacon of diversity and hope all over the world. And, you know, you only have to venture as far as Brighton or Manchester to see that they have something that remembers people.
Yeah.
Remembers people that sadly died, you know. And it's actually quite damning, I think, in a way, that it's not been organised, or, you know, nobody has got behind it before in a really strong way. So, yeah, the answer to your question, why don't we have one, I don't know. I think it's down to, you know, people just not getting behind it and charities not pushing it. It's really important that we remember those people. You know, I'm here because I was lucky enough to survive, and that medication took me through a very, you know, a very horrific time in my life. There's so many that didn't survive, and we can't let them be forgotten. And the longer we go on, the more years that pass, the more they'll be forgotten. You know, the next generation of young people who will be on prayer and will be, you know, HIV will almost become a thing of the past. We will get to HIV zero.
Yeah.
It's going to go out of vogue, so to speak. I hate to say it like that, but it will go out of vogue.
Yeah.
And we can't let that happen. You know, I can't. I won't let that happen. And I think that's why the founder of our organisation, AIDS UK, Ash, feels so strongly about it as well. It's leaving a legacy. It's leaving a permanent legacy to those that we lost. And why we don't have one in London, I actually think it's quite shameful. I think it's really... really disappointing that we don't have one, but we will have one, and we will make it happen.
So there's going to be people, Jason, that say, why is it important that we have an AIDS memorial? You know, we have, it's 40 years since the first reported case. What, there's going to be people saying, why do we need one? So why, what is your answer to that?
I think why we need something physical. We need something where people can go, you know, to really concentrate and centre themselves and think of those who we've lost. Or think of, you know, even just myself, sometimes on World AIDS Day, things can be centred a bit too much around going out or alcohol or events like that. And it's nice to have somewhere. You know, we have memorials for all different things,
yeah,
in all different places. And to have somewhere where not just gay people can go, but people who contracted HIV for blood transfusions, you know, we're a big, sprawling family. And to be able to go somewhere and to sit and to reflect and just to take time, I think is a very important thing, to focus the mind and to focus everyone, to focus society on what happened. So, yeah, a central focus point, I think, is really, really important for everyone. And again, it will be there, and it will stand as a testament to what happened.
Yeah. So what still needs to be done to make this happen? I'm not sure where you are with things at the moment, Jason, but you can let us know if that's okay. And also what needs to be done to make the AIDS memorial be a reality.
So there's a lot that needs to be done, but it can be done. I think that's the most important point. It can be done. You know, we're working with Camden Council, and we're working with funding organisations. At the moment, we're a grassroots organisation. These things will come in time. So we take donations, and it all goes towards just funding the grassroots part of the campaign at the moment. We have a location, and we have ideas for the design. So it's going to take a little longer. It could take another year or two, probably two, but it will be worth it. It will be really worth it for our community and for people living with HIV and for the families who have lost people from AIDS. You know, it will be really, really worth it. It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a lot of hard work, but we're in it for the long haul. We really are. And we hope the community will get behind us and support us. And that's why right now we're taking events around the community. We've been to the old ship in the East End, which is a right old laugh. we were down at the RBT for Freddie Mercury's birthday. We've got a ducky night coming up. We have a World Day. You know, that's why I've come on board, to really grow this awareness. And then everything will slot into place, hopefully. But, you know, it is hard work at the moment, and it is takes some time. But we're committed. We're absolutely committed to doing this.
So I think you kind of answered my next question in that one, and it was, Jason, when do you think that there will be an actual memorial there?
Yeah, like I said, we can't put a definite time on it or a definite date, but it's looking at approximately 2 to 3 years. It could be shorter than that. It won't be longer than that. But yeah, we will do everything we can, and we will push and push and push. You know, there's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you have to iron out and organise. And yeah, it will be in the next few years. And once it's there, you know, it's ours.
Yeah. And if people do want to help, Jason, if they want to, you know, do something that can help make this happen, what's the best way for them to get involved? Or
yeah, so they can go onto our social media, AIDS Memory UK, all one word, and they can donate at our GoFundMe, or they can, you know, they can join us and they can help to volunteer at some of the events or something. But the prime focus is donating at the moment. Yeah, and just follow us and, you know, help us push this forward as fast as we can. We want to get it done. If we can get it done faster than the time limit at the moment, that would be fantastic. So, yeah, everyone just getting behind us, supporting us, lifting us up. As, you know, this community does so well, we all lift each other up.
Yeah.
It would be great if we could get this done as soon as possible.
And as you say, Jason, you've had some great, you know, some great get-togethers and, you know, events and things. And hopefully, you know, as we come out of COVID more, things like that will be able to be happening more often, yeah.
And, you know, it's not just those places we've been to. We've had dozens of other places and venue owners contacting us well off the back of that. So, you know, it's a snowball effect. People get really involved in this and, you know, the idea of the memorial is to focus the mind and for us all to be able to reflect and to have something that really makes us understand what happened in that time and around the AIDS crisis and people that are living with HIV now as well. So the LGBT community understands that and they have that in their heart. So that's why the venues have been so good. And we've got plenty more coming up in 2022. We're going to have a great year with these venues and with these events. And we hope everyone can come and raise a glass with us.
Have some fun, yeah. Yeah, I must admit, I remember going to the AIDS Memorial in San Francisco, and it just being a real, it was just a really healing, it just felt very healing for me as somebody living with HIV and somebody that had lost friends to AIDS. It was very important. So I think that you know that the thought that there will be one in London is very important, isn't it?
It really, really is important. I have that same thinking that you have as well. I mean, you know, we look at how It's a Sin brought everything back into the foreground recently. If it wasn't for that, you know, people wouldn't have been reminded of the AIDS crisis. And, you know, I watched that and all my sort of stuff came rushing back, being in a hospice with AIDS and all this. It all came rushing back.
Yeah.
And friends. But it came rushing back in a way that I could sit with it and remember it and understand it and be thankful and be grateful.
Yeah.
But to have somewhere to go and to sit and to be with people, you can't put a price on that, really. You can't put a price on that. So that's why it's so important.
Yeah. Great, Jason. Thank you so much for talking to us today. It's a really important thing, and as you say, you know, it's time, isn't it? It's time we have one here in London.
Definitely. And if there's anyone out there with like a big checkbook,
get in touch.
Get in touch.
Yeah.
If anyone's listening with millions, get in touch.
It sounds good. If it sounds good, definitely. Okay. Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you. Radio Reverb.
Making music night and day.
97.2 FM.
Well, that was a great interview, Stephen.
Thank you very much. It was It was really interesting to hear, isn't it, about the memorial that we will hopefully one day have here in London, you know. It,
yeah. Yeah.
It's good to hear it, isn't it? And yeah, definitely.
We must mention the injectables.
Yes.
We must just literally, I know we've got such a full packed show, but injectables, some old good news on the horizon. Whether I would take an injectable for HIV medication, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. What do you think about it, guys? Would you?
I think I would. Yeah, I think I would, actually. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's six during the year, isn't it? Is it every 2 months?
Every 2 months.
Two injections, yeah. I think I probably would, actually.
What about you, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm because obviously being diabetic, I'm used to having injections. So for me, it would be another injection, but it would be it would just take away that worry of, or you know, making sure you've had your tablets and not missing and things like that. So for me, the injectable would be, yeah, I really would be interested.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to see if you have to go to the clinic to have it done, or whether you do it yourself.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes, that's
I think the logistics have got to be finalized, and I have actually found out because my partner went, because he's positive, and he was inquiring about, and apparently they may all to be a tablet instead of injectable, so there's a lot of other stuff going to come on before that. I think it's great for the HIV community in many different ways, and some people are going to like it, some people are not. I think personally it's going to be massive for stigma and discrimination, where people are still afraid to take their medication and those bottles of pills we have to have. So that in itself, I think, is going to be instrumental to, you know, but let's wait and see. I'm sure we're going to be talking about it more on the show.
Yes,
yes, I'm sure we will. Yep.
So we've got some community news. We've got quite a bit to go through. So shall I just start and go through it? So on Saturday, the 27th of November, at the Sussex Beacon Shop on St James Street in Brighton, there's going to be a book signing of a new book called The Brightonians. Ooh. And that the guy who wrote it is called Darren Kay. Now, he's going to be signing copies. And basically, it's about stories from his beloved Brighton, and especially about the characters who make the LGBTQ plus quarter of Kemp Town.
Wow.
The quirky community it is, he says. The Brightonian, the book, will contain carefully crafted tales to which many of its readers can relate. So Darren will be donating profits of any book sold on the day to the Sussex Beacon Shop. So that's on the 27th between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m.
Great.
And then on Sunday, the 28th of November, is Lunch Positives World AIDS Day Community Lunch. Mm-hmm. Now, doors open at 12:30, and there will be a buffet lunch at 1 p.m. So that's at the Dorset Gardens Methodist Church, Dorset Gardens in Brighton. You can join them and their Lunch Positive volunteers for a wonderful afternoon of great food and friendship. And if you want to contact them, it's www.lunchpositive.org. Now, also in the lobby of the Methodist Church is an exhibition called the Brighton AIDS Memorial. Have you heard of that? With Harry O'Leary? Harry came on the show for an interview a couple of weeks ago. So that's a photo exhibition, and that runs till December the 4th between 10 and 4 p.m. Except Thursdays. And then it's on display in the windows of the Lead Centre, and that's Jubilee Street. So the Brighton AIDS Memorial is a remembrance project with stories and history of the AIDS epidemic in Brighton and Hove area. So leading on to that is the exhibition that we're all involved in, isn't it? The Mortimer exhibition, which is next door to the Labour Centre, which is at the Jubilee Library.
Mm-hmm.
So that starts on Monday the 29th of November until the 12th of December at the Jubilee Library. I mean, we've got all our photos up around the library.
Yeah.
Haven't we? So.
Wow. Yes. Full scape. Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
You can't escape from us.
and that's Josh. That's the More to Me Than HIV.
HIV exhibition. Initiative. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So it's a project that shows that people living with HIV are not just surviving but thriving. So so many people are overcoming the stigma associated with HIV and are the better for it. So it's just an exhibition of people who live with HIV. And And it's nice because we've got people from London, yourself, Stephen, and other people. So it's going to be a great exhibition to go and see. If you want to get involved, you can go to their website, which is www.moretomethanhiv.life.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
Great.
Then, obviously, so there's more. The vigil on the 1st of December, which is at the Newsteen Gardens. Are you reading names this year, Sue?
I am, actually. I've been sort of pulled in again, which I don't mind. I've sort of squeezed it in my calendar. But no, it's something I do like to do, actually, yes.
So that's between 6 and 7 p.m. I think it'd be good to get back to doing it live on it and face-to-face. And the last one, THT are doing a big shave-off on December the 1st. This year, THT is highlighting the importance of HIV testing, which is the key to ending HIV transmissions. All money raised will go to vital work to get more people testing through awareness campaigns and THT programmes to provide free self-tests. If you want to take part, it's quite simple.
Just go to the Terran Signatures website.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's better, isn't it? Yeah.
Just put THT into Google and you'll get it all up,
Yes. And so you can get people to sponsor, shave their head, chest, whatever else, as long as it's not the cat.
Oh, no! My cat's just run down the road.
And there you go. So that's, I've kind of got to do that quite quickly, very fast. There you go.
Yes, quite a lot going on, and quite rightly so. Quite rightly
That's it. What are you doing well days then, Stephen?
Well, I am doing a couple of talks through the Positive Voices scheme. So I'll be going out to schools and just telling my story in different places. So a lot going on, but really excited about it,
Also, Tony's going to be doing a sponsored 10K run, isn't he, in a couple of weeks with Spend D. And that's from the Reading Hub, isn't it?
Yes. Yep. Good luck with for him.
I think because they run that social and support group over there. It's just raising funds for the Worthing Hub.
Yes. Quite vital for over there as well, because there's not many services for HIV positive people over there. So he does so much within his community. So we'll be all rooting for him when he does that.
And they lost funding earlier in the year didn't they? So Tony and Dee are just trying to get out there and help, get some services back for people.
What I'll do is I'll put there's a link to the GoFund link thing. So I'll put that onto our social media, into the podcast. So if people want to donate, they can.
Good.
Well, another great show.
Yes, absolutely. And, as together with the HIV community, we're all going to be standing together, whether it's in silence or standing together, and just really having those private thoughts. And I think it always touches me World AIDS Day for many reasons, and I'm not alone. So, whether you're on your own or with a group of people, we're all standing or sitting together just to commemorate a solemn day, but also some great things happening in the future. So
Well said. I agree.
Okay, well, we'll see you soon. Speak to you another time. Bye.
Bye.